Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I'm joined by a bunch of friends today. We got a full house on the podcast. I'm joined by Bridget, Dupe Snacks, and Wonder Chef. We're going to be talking all things Asia Champions League today. I feel like for the last 20 episodes of this podcast, Bridget and I at the end have been like, and next week we're definitely going to talk about Asia Champions League again and again and again. And we have kept kicking that ball down the road, but finally, we're going to be able to do an episode totally dedicating to covering this tournament. There was a group stage draw, so we know where these teams are going to be ending up. Wonder Chef was actually on that broadcast. He'll be giving us some extra little bit of insight. And of course, we're going to have a blast covering all that. There also was a patch added to the game, so we'll spend a little bit of time at the start of the episode discussing the brand new patch, the Assault Break Part 2, I believe, and apparently a little bit of stuff that happened in Assault Break Part 1 that wasn't recorded. So we'll get into all of that in a moment. In the meantime, Bridget, my friend, how have you been this last week?
I'm pretty good. I feel like I had a lot going on, so it was very go, go, go. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's been a blur, but a good blur. So
good.
I'm doing good.
Perfect. Wonder Chef, how about you?
Addicted to Monster Hunter. Yes. I forgot that anything else in the world exists. And I opened my eyes, and then I got a message from Zoinks, and it was like, hey, do you want to do the show in 10 minutes? And I was like, it's really kind of 6 minutes, but I'll just throw on my VTuber because my room is not set up right now.
All right. Bubber being called out when I clicked the record button, but that's fair. Tube Snacks, how about you? How are you feeling?
Feeling good. I cannot tell you how excited I am for ACL. Uh-huh. And just Japan in general. The fact that we get to go is just S tier. And like needed in my life in general right now. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Big agree. Been a rougher couple of weeks, guaranteed. But I am so happy that Japan is on the horizon. I think, are you also heading out middle of next week? Is that when you were leaving?
Yeah, I leave my house for my first flight at 4 a.m. Eastern, and I land Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Japan time.
It's so brutal getting to that country, man.
If I can make it, like, once I land, stay awake, and then go to bed at, like, a normal Japan time hour, I'm going to be set.
Yes.
The problem is if I land and perish, then I'm screwed. So here's for the not screwed option.
I mean, like, not even a joke. Apparently brute forcing jet lag is always the correct way to do it. So I think you might be stepping up to the correct plate. I think it's a good idea.
You know, I do. I'm like uniquely, it's a bad superpower to have, but I have this crazy ability to just do like random things that I just decide I need to be done. Like when I just decided to fast for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just kind of thought it would be easy. So I just did it. Uh-huh. Or like, you know, when I was studying for a master's degree, had a newborn kid, and I was getting like 2 hours of sleep a day.
And starting a YouTube channel. I'm going to throw that in the mix as well.
So you know, and I was just like, fine. So in my mind, it's like, you know what? I can do that.
Right.
I can stay up, you know, 8 hours once we land. We can do that, Zoinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll try. Oh, I'm in too. Okay, good.
Now it's on Zoinks. Yeah.
Great. Now I'm liable. Perfect. Wonder Chef, how about you? Or do you have insane travel plans to get out to Japan?
I don't want to be that one to say it, but it's really easy to get there from Los Angeles. It's literally like one flight, and it is, I think it's like 12 hours, something like that. But yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. I am jealous. Hey, at least I found a nonstop both ways. That's all I need. I don't have to transfer.
Oh, nice.
I'm feeling okay. I mean, it's Chicago to Japan, so it's long, but at least
You guys don't have a 4-hour layover in Minneapolis, St. Paul?
I did dodge that one. I'll wave at you on the way past.
Anti shout out CVG.
Yeah, that's rough, buddy.
Oof, yeah. Bridget understands your pain. And Bridget, in your long-running history of being somewhere truly bizarre when a big Unite tournament happens, whether it's at a bachelor party in New Orleans, not NAIC, by the way, or in a cabin in the woods, is it mountaintop, ocean cruise? Where are you going for ACL?
I am not going anywhere. It is my birthday weekend, so I don't know how I'm gonna manage. Not that I have a lot of things to do, but I have some things to do, so The hours are going to be interesting for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild weekend. I mean, obviously, there's Asia Champions League, Bridget's birthday party, March Cup. I mean, it's a jam-packed event. Yeah, I mean, we haven't even mentioned that aspect of it as well. It's going to be really cool. March Cup's going to be fun. You know, I'm excited to see who wins North America with LG being plucked out of the mix. Who walks up to the top of the plate. We'll see you there. But all right. Either way, let's jump into our first topic of today. We wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the new patch in Unite Assault Break. It's kind of crazy that we're doing this podcast later in the week, so we actually get to talk about the patch notes. Very exciting. We might need to make this a regular thing. We'll see. We'll see. But Assault Break Part 2, we'll jump to the screen that's got the Unite DB on it. So in this, another wave of Pokemon have received defense penetration. And a couple of Pokemon that apparently received it within the last patch, namely Zeraora and Cinderace, both getting it. Zeraora getting a flat defense penetration number, like the rest of the Speedsters, and Cinderace getting a very bizarre defense penetration, and actually a percentile of defense ignored, instead of like all the other Speedsters who just have a flat number. Why these decisions were made and why they were not made public is a mystery to me. But I think it might be worth talking about. Wonder Chef, I know you were watching and seeing a little bit of this discourse going on. What do you think of these damage penetration numbers kind of on all the Pokemon, and then a few of these kind of getting slipped under the rug by Unite?
I don't have any idea why it was hidden. Maybe they wanted to test it and they didn't want anybody to know, which is not a good thing to do. But I actually do think the concept of like some of the physical attackers like Cinderace getting some sort of percentage defense penetration is kind of cool, because honestly, I mean, yeah, we see it work sometimes, right? Like Overlord Cinderace can win sometimes, but it's been like a role that has been kind of bad. Let's just be honest. It's been bad for a long time. So I think something like that could be kind of cool, but I don't know why they didn't tell us. I don't know if anybody knows.
Yeah. If this title right here said Dragapult instead of Cinderace, I'd be popping off. Genuinely. Like, please give that Pokemon some help right now.
Never!
Yeah, never again. They buffed Phantom Force that one time, and they were like, oh no, we broke everything. Shut it down.
Go back.
I actually don't know if you can with those new, like, knockout stacking items that are going to be hitting the game pretty soon. That actually does sound a little scary on an already stacking ADC mod. Either way, we'll see. So that was the big change to Cinderace. Dupes next, or Bridget, any thoughts on these defense penetration changes? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
It doesn't seem to be too impactful. I know people were kind of freaking out about them at first. And obviously in Assault Break 1, Speedsters were just so overtuned in, well, like the four Speedsters specifically were also overtuned in general, that I feel like it was kind of hard to pinpoint exactly what it was. And then when they kind of reverted the stat changes back, I'm like, okay, that seemed to be more of the problem to me than the defense pen. So I am okay with it. I think it's a cool and interesting stat, especially when they tell us that they put it in the game. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Dupesnacks, any thoughts on it for Cinder Azera in this patch?
Nah.
Fair enough. Okay, I'm actually curious. I'm going to do the math right now. Okay, so Zeraora at level, where are these stat changes here? Okay, damage penetration, level 15 ignores 80 defense, right? So let's sort these Pokemon by defense. That is kind of funny that attackers have some truly ridiculous defenses. So Delphox is like the highest when I'm... Oh, no, that's the lowest defense. There we go. That makes more sense. Okay. Blastoise has the highest defense at 650 at level 15. Let's be more honest. You're probably attacking what? Like level 13 Blastoise at the end game, right?
Yeah.
So 495. You're bringing essentially its defense down to 400. 20% of 500. Oh, this is a bold choice by me to do this math live.
Well, 20% of 500 is 100.
Thank you. So, I feel so dumb that I couldn't jump to that conclusion.
I literally was like, I couldn't do this for you right now. I'm so sorry. So
Cinderace at level 15 is getting just slightly more defense penetration than Zeraora at level 15 against a Blastoise. At least in terms of its raw stats, you like add in other ones, like in terms of like battle items and stuff like that, but or emblems if it's in a ranked environment. But for the most part, that is kind of what we're looking at. So the percentage and the like just flat damage number seem to work out rather similarly, if I'm not mistaken. So that's kind of interesting to note. Okay, let's move on past the Matthew stats because I feel like I'm gonna get way too.
That's one of the things to talk about today. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay. Wrong. Perfect. Yeah, we're just talking about math in the ACL pre-show. Okay.
I'll talk about ACL next week.
The other Pokemon that it does when it comes down to defense penetration, though, that we did want to talk about is this monster right here, Leafeon, a Pokemon that it truly seems they are allergic to nerfing. They buff it yet again, giving it the defense penetration treatment all the way up to 60 at level 15 from zero. Oh, whoops, there we go. Let me get back. It did get a buff to Razor Leaf. Who this knows what reason? Yeah. Getting a percentage buff to its ratio on its attack, as well as the base attack getting increased. And Leaf Blade slow increase. Leaf Blade, of course, is when Leafeon kind of does the big dash and the circle of leaves shows up around it. Usually you don't pair that one with Razor Leaf. Instead, you're going Razor Leaf Acrobatics, I believe, is the other move in that slot, right? So, yeah. Leafeon Hollow Air soon? Like, what's going on? Why is this Pokemon getting this buff? It's crazy. Deuce next, how you feeling about a Razor Leaf buff?
We will see no Leafeon at ACL. If it's not banned every game, it is just a team looking to lose. And also on the other side, if your team doesn't have a Leafeon player at this point to exploit that, if a team lets it through, that's another problem. Like, if it doesn't get banned and it doesn't get picked, those teams should not be winning that event. The draft screen, they should like eliminate themselves from the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, feels like an orange side of the draft screen permanent pick, right? There's no way you can just let it through. And if your first pick, it feels like you should be fighting to try to make sure it does. So, interesting stuff. Wonder Chef, any thoughts on the Leafeon changes?
You know, one thing that's really interesting to me, and I honestly wonder if this is why we keep seeing, like every patch, you know, there's like one evolution that's really good. I always make jokes, you know, I have this like ongoing thread of like, oh, there's no Unite patch that doesn't buff a strong Pokemon or nerf a weak Pokemon. And this time I just quoted it with a picture of the Leafeon, and I had like a surprising amount of people like talk to me and be like, good, Leafeon deserves to be broken. Leafeon doesn't get enough love in other things. And I'm like, what? And there are staunch evolution defenders. Like, they are like ride or die with their evolution. And maybe that's why. Like, they will, if they're like, oh, they're broken, now it's time to play Unite, you know? Like, not that it's good for the game, but I'm wondering if that's why they do it. It
depends on how fat their wallets are, right?
Like, I suppose so.
If that cult has got, you know, coins in the coffers, maybe, yeah, we got to keep one of the evolutions buffed at any given time. That's a crazy theory, but apparently Twitter kind of proved it for you. I like that.
Yeah, I love the thought that it's like the player base like increases when Leafeon is like broken. Yeah. Like, there's enough of those people that it like causes a bump one way or the other.
So, yeah, Ripto self-reporting in our Twitch chat, by the way, saying they'll spend money for Espeon. Whatever it takes, please buff for my Espeon. By the way, Ripto, I feel like Espeon, a very solid Pokemon on this match, awesome. By the way.
It's really amazing.
Pokemon. So, but hey, if you're going to spend more money on the game, I'm sure Timmy's not going to argue with you. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think I agree with Duke Snacks' original point. I don't think we see this thing happen very much at least in Champions League. Now, this Pokemon, I think it's kind of interesting. Let's talk about Gyarados. Bounce getting a slight buff, which is pretty cool. Bounce by far the more like popular moveset on Gyarados. The actual damage of the move not getting a huge change, but the shield getting a little bit of an increase, allowing Gyarados just to fight a little bit more. And now when you're using Dragon Current, a little like dun-dun-dun-dun kind of Unite move, your movement speed is increased by quite a bit. I mean, 15% at that first stage, so very, very solid. You stay at 65, but you like save faster longer, essentially. Which is pretty cool. Gyarados is going to be zooming a bit more. Easier to clean up KOs. You won't have like a 1 HP Pikachu running away from you as often. The Gyarados change seems solid. Bridget, thoughts on Gyarados?
Yeah, I think it seems like solid as well. Like, it makes sense to me, especially given like the state of the game. Like, you need a composition that's going to get online super fast, and Gyarados is obviously not that guy usually, unless you play around it. Okay, unless you play around it very well, but it's hard to do that when you have, you know,
Leafeon, Zeraora, Zoroark, Talonflame. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I do like that it kind of has this more of a reward for getting through that part. So, and it doesn't seem to be too much. I'm like scared to say that going into all these tournaments this weekend, but we really haven't seen much Gyarados. It's a pretty niche pick. So I don't hate this for Gyarados.
Me neither. I think it's pretty solid. I'm pretty excited. Gyarados is a strong Pokemon, but I feel like it's kind of fallen away from metagame favor for a little bit. So I'm excited about a change to it. How about you, Doopsnax? Are you excited for a Gyarados resurgence?
Yeah, I'm down for Gyarados to come back. I wish they would have touched the other moveset.
Literally.
To give people a reason to maybe load up and select it. But
I genuinely think you need to rework Aqua Tail. Whoa, fun? You like Aqua Tail?
Waterfall.
Oh, Waterfall. No, totally
relax.
Down on Waterfall.
Chill. No, I agree.
Zoinks is about to shoot point blank for that take.
What do you mean you're not going to ban Leafeon?
Yeah. Judge, jury, and executioner here on this podcast. I do love Waterfall, but yeah, they do need to touch that other moveset, particularly Aqua Tail, but I'm sorry, Dupes, next I cut you off. Continue.
No, that was my point. It's just like, it would have been nice to touch the other moveset.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But yeah, you know, Gary being a viable option, I think is a good thing.
Agreed. Chef, how you feeling about big ol' fish?
I actually saw it like not a super low amount from some of the teams right before the big speedster patch.
Mm-hmm.
There are some players that are really good with it. I mean, like, you know, just a lot of those like brawler players. Like I even saw like Overlord playing it. I mean, there's people like, I can't even think of who, but definitely
Metallic.
Like a decent amount. Metallic. This is exactly who I was thinking of. Thank you. You're so smarter than this game to me. But that's actually pretty big. The base shield being like gigantic now means that if you get an early Evo with Gyarados, you're just like invincible probably. That's pretty scary, honestly. It can be like a snowbally Pokemon, so I'm excited. I think it's really cool. It's really fun to talk about when it's on like screen, like Gyarados Magikarp of evolution, so I'm about it coming back, but it actually looks pretty scary to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited. My boy Zhang on FN Esports is an absolute Gyarados monster, so I'm pretty down for that. That'll be a lot of fun. HT on Onyx Rise as well, pretty incredible Gyarados player. So
okay, someone's been taking notes.
We got some exciting Gyarados players on Apex. It'll be fun to watch. All right, let's jump down. Zeraora getting some changes. Like we mentioned, the damage penetration one was last patch. It also got an attack speed increase in this one. I looked at some of the math core nerds were talking about this Pokemon. It sounds like the attack speed not going to be super relevant in terms of like how much damage you're doing. You can drop the muscle band though on Zeraora now if you want to, which is kind of a nice change. You know, Zeraora not really known for its quick clear of like objectives anyways, which is like the passive effect of muscle band. So being able to put something else in that slot might be kind of nice for Zera. Or you can just kind of double down with Muscle Band and maybe have a stronger early game with your auto attacks. Either way.
I misunderstand, but like, wouldn't a faster attack speed make Muscle Band stronger by the nature of the extra damage?
Well, okay. Yes. Well, not really, because the like damage, the threshold of attack speed is so weird in Unite that like, I don't know if Muscle Band plus these stat changes will actually get you more attacks off.
Okay.
Because
all
of how it actually plays out. Like, I think you're kind of just doing two, and then you're actually not resulting in more damage. I think later levels, potentially, like maybe like 13 plus, like when the number truly starts getting off the charts, like 25 to 32 is a huge change. So, yeah, maybe there. Maybe a little bit later. Also, Dextro correcting me on HT, by the way, is a Paper X player. It's a good note. Wild Charge also getting a cooldown reduction, 9 to 8 seconds. I mean, it's an interesting move. It feels like a Pokemon Unite just released kind of move, you know? It's almost a little too fair in a way, like compared to some of these speedsters nowadays. It's like, just don't know if you can actually play this move. Just doesn't feel strong enough. Pikachu getting some changes. Bridget, I know you were pretty excited about these. How you feeling about Pikachu getting the defense buff treatment?
It does kind of feel like speedster good, like smash the volt tackle button, like Timmy's balancing. It'll be fine. Just buff Pikachu. So I appreciate that it got like some of the defense stat treatment that I feel like a lot of attackers have been getting lately. I don't know. I feel like kind of similar to how a lot of patches go. I felt like Volt Tackle was already like kind of decent, but Pikachu has definitely like fallen off pretty hard in competitive play. So maybe this might help its cause a little bit more. And I just think in this meta specifically, you always go Volt Tackle. There's literally no reason to ever go the other moveset. So although I like Thunder Thunderbolt a lot more, it's Volt Tackle all day right now. So I actually do appreciate them buffing this move because it is the only one I want my randoms playing. So
that's fair. I think movement speed's kind of like movement speed increase after the move is kind of a cool change. Like at least they're not amping the damage or the length of the stun or something. Like it's kind of a fun way to buff that move. I don't know how I feel about it. Dupesnax, you're the other support player on this podcast. Have you strapped a light bulb to the main character and played it all? How you feeling about this?
No,
change?
No, I have not, but it's Pikachu's very good.
Yes.
this is ridiculous. In my opinion, I don't think Pikachu needed that much, but whatever. Throw a bulb on the rat. Let's get moving.
Yeah, this rat's gonna be good. Comfey getting some changes, Sweet Kiss and passive of Triage getting a little bit of a buff now. Just allows like the shields to be a little bit higher depending on which moveset you're using. Sweet Kiss coming back is a little scary with how good Zeraora is right now and other Pokemon like that. Like, I think we are going to see an increase in Comfey play. We always see an increase in Comfey play at LAN tournaments, right? It always happens. Damage players feel a lot more comfortable playing their like skill expression speedsters, and so naturally Comfey just slots in. I think we're going to see even more Comfey at this tournament. I think it's going to be a pretty popular support pick, actually. It's going to be interesting. Any thoughts on Comfey before we move on to the last Pokemon that I think got a change?
Nope. No, I'm glad it was Suicune.
Yeah, that's true.
The other one, but yeah, granted.
I'm actually surprised we didn't see more Suicune before now, when we're in this like meta of like less and less healers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. We see it a little bit, but it just feels like a moveset you really want to be able to hit like multiple targets with, and Zoro not exactly the target. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Okay, Greninja getting just another attacker stat buff, like a lot of the attackers have been receiving recently, which, fair enough, it's been a pretty tough role recently. Water Shuriken getting a nerf, kind of, and then Double Team getting a buff. The clone damage getting increased for Double Team, great, and then the Water Shuriken healing going down a little bit. Wonder Chef, I think you had the godlike tweet about this on the Water Shuriken. What did you say in your tweet?
Yeah, I'm actually looking for it right now because it's so nonsense. They made the line, they were like, they basically said along the lines of like the healing on Water Shuriken has been nerfed because it was too easy for Greninja to sustain itself in long battles.
Right.
Like, what?
And then
never in my entire life. It's the most bizarre comment I've ever seen in a patch notes. Like, oh, the tank Greninja, finally, it's gone.
And then especially because they buffed its natural HP stats overall. Because I think in their words, it was getting KO'd too quickly. So like an insane, insane patch note in general. Greninja, confounding to both the player base and the developers, it seems. But wild stuff for Gren. Suicune getting a slight nerf, Whirlpool and Ice Beam. That's the more common build, so I think fair enough. I've played a little bit Suicune since the nerf. Still feels pretty strong. I like the Pokemon. Again, it's an attacker. It's not an all-rounder. Don't get it confused, everybody. Yeah, but it still seems really good. I think you still probably go Whirlpool, Ice Beam. a little more frequently, the ability to stun people for as long as you can and as many people as you can with this Whirlpool Ice Beam combo is just crazy. So I like it a lot. Aegislash getting a little bit of a slap on the wrist. Wide Guard getting nerfed slightly. The shield you get lowering and lowering. So 200% of your attack stat to down to 170% of your attack stat. Aegislash will be now slightly easier to KO. So yeah. Feeling all right about that. Do we think this will actually have a meaningful change on how much Aegislash we see? Because we've been seeing more and more and more of that Pokemon ever since the Wide Guard buff. So with it getting the nerf, do we actually think Aegislash is, like, here to stay? Is it sliding off the table? Where does it end up? Do Snacks any opinions with a Wide Guard shield nerf?
I still think it's in the mix.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't know how much time these kids have had the opportunity to play it and actually see how, like, the difference feels, but just on paper, it doesn't look completely debilitating. Mm-hmm. So I still think we're going to see it.
Okay, cool. Bridget?
Yeah, AG is an interesting one. I kind of thought we would see it more for the play-ins, but it didn't, at least I feel like in like NAEU, have a great showing. Didn't seem to do very good.
Yeah.
And I've been obviously trying to catch up with like all of the ACL games, and I don't really feel like I saw like a ton of Aegislash there either. So yeah. And I don't, like, when I think of Aegislash, I can't think of a player where I'm like, oh, they like popped off on that guy recently. So I am a little like confused by this one, but I mean, such as the Unite patch. I think it's, like Doomsack said, still very much viable, but it is a pretty high skill expression. There's a lot of other mons competing for its spots. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see why maybe players don't really gravitate towards it. So we'll see. I'm not sure if we'll see it much, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too sure either. Wonder Chef, thoughts on Aegislash now? Is it gone? Is it forgotten? Or is it here to stay?
I think it's the exact same. We'll still be seeing people miss coup de grace all over the place. The amount that they nerfed that shield, by the way, if you really want to look at it, it's like 1/3 of the amount that they buffed the Gyarados shield. So, like, if you want to put it into that perspective, it's like pretty significant. It's not actually exactly 1/3, but it's like, I think, less than half.
Okay.
And honestly, I think the Aegislash, it wasn't like running around with like infinite shields on. The point is that it can basically just become invincible for points of time, you know? Mm-hmm. That was, I think, a little bit more important than like a small percentage of shield on it being in sword mode, which is already not a hugely tanky Pokemon. So I don't think it really changes all that much, if I'm being honest. And it's still going to be great at diving. It's still going to be good at everything it does. So I expect we'll see it.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I'm happy because I love Aegislash. So if we're feeling confident on that Pokemon, I'm feeling great. And yeah, I don't know if I've ever watched a player land a coup de grace in many, many moons. I feel like if there's any tournament where Aegislash kind of proved its worth, it was like kind of EUIC. This year was like where it was actually having a pretty decent tournament, but even that was kind of where we're all pointing to in a whole lot of missed Unites. So I think it kind of can be a bit of a shambles Pokemon, but that's all right. Either way, that's our thoughts on the patch, Assault Break Part 2. Not a terrible patch. I think some decent changes. I think the Leafeon one, the kind of the withstanding really crazy change out of everything, like that one feels really bizarre. Maybe even the Pikachu changes. I think depending on how well Pikachu does at this weekend's tournaments, or next weekend's tournaments rather, with March Cup and ACL, like that's still yet to be seen, but I feel like Pikachu could just be like demon god levels of power, but we'll see. We will end up seeing the state of that one. But let's transition into talking about Asia Champions League. It is finally time. I think we've been talking about this tournament forever, and it's actually going to be happening, an in-person LAN tournament in Shinjuku, Japan. It is going to be so sick. There's going to be, I think, fully 16 teams. I have not heard any word of a team not being able to make it. I really hope that every single team can make it in attendance. The only one I know for sure is the North American squad, because they're already there. LG's been boot camping in Japan for over a week now. I think Slash has been streaming like every single day. A lot of the players have been streaming from their boot camp, so that's pretty exciting. And hey, word on the street is that LG beat Fennel 3-0 in a scrim. So we're feeling good. We're feeling good. I know scrims mean nothing, but hey, Let's go west. We're going to be breaking down all this stuff. But just first, before we go in, what are kind of the vibes going into this Asia Champions League? Like, we're about to see another team qualified for Worlds. What are we just excited for? Obviously, I'm not going to ask the question, are you excited? Because I think we are all bursting at the seams with excitement for this tournament. But what are we truly excited to see at this tournament? Wonderchef, we'll start with you.
I think the mix of... this is the first time. So obviously, this is the first time that we've had like this many strong teams come together for like the normal format, as opposed to like ACL last year, which was also very, very cool and obviously showed some great teams. But the biggest thing to me is the first time that we're going to have teams from franchise leagues going up against teams that were not in franchise leagues. And that's something we haven't had the experience of before. So I'm really excited to see how that goes, because some of these teams that have qualified through other ways that were not the franchised ACL tournaments are looking really scary to me, but we just don't have that direct like team-to-team comparison.
Right. There's technically, well, four of those teams, right? We have what was Kakagoya Gaming, which is now Exist in Japan. Luminosity Gaming, obviously, not playing in a franchise league. And then the two Chinese teams, I believe, Utopia and Litten Dream Factory, both squads. But everybody else has eventually come from the franchise league. However, a couple of teams didn't qualify in their franchise league and then had to play through the open, like Onik and Talon specifically would be those teams. But that is going to be interesting to see how those teams measure up. That's a really good point. Deucenext, how about you? What are you excited about specifically when it comes to the tournament? I know we could go on and on about all the things we're excited about for Japan in general, but when it comes to this event, what are you excited for?
Oh man, I'm really hoping we get to see these Chinese teams game.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I'm like, just a highlight item for me is to see where they land, how they fall. I kind of want one of these two teams to go on a bit of a run, you know, kind of put the world on notice saying, we don't even play this version of the game and we're keeping pace with you type energy. So we'll see if it materializes that way. You know, after Fifi's interview that she did with one of the members of Litten Dream Factory and them saying they had 1,000 teams in their qualifying tournament, that's banana lands, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, it's gonna be so sick. These are the two teams that were supposed to try to come out and compete at EUIC as well. Fortunately, just visa issues fell through. Apparently, Litten Dream Factory was also, we learned kind of in Fifi's interview, was also supposed to be at Worlds last year for a show match. Not necessarily to compete within the tournament, but was supposed to come out for a show match. And Mewtwo, the like only player, the player that was interviewed on Fifi's interview, was the only player that was able to make it out. So he was in attendance for last year's tournament, which I think is kind of cool.
And that's dope.
Watched Fennel win and was like, I want that. And it's like now coming for Worlds, which I think is super sick. Like, I think he directly quoted like seeing like the Japanese fans like and the players like tearing up after they won the World Championships. And he's like, oh, I want that, which I think is really cool. Yeah, that's so sick. Okay, Bridget, how about you? What are you excited for when it comes to the tournament of the Asia Champions League?
Yeah, I mean, just echoing what everyone else has said, this might seem a little shady. If EUIC is like mini Worlds, like this ACL is like mini day two of Worlds to me. It just feels, it's like that same kind of energy of seeing teams from all these different regions clash in a LAN environment. But I mean, a lot of these are like, if not the exact same rosters, pretty much the same rosters as like day two qualifying Worlds teams from this past year. So it just feels like it's a little more like higher stakes to me. I don't know. It just feels bigger in a sense. That's hard for me to describe it either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It does feel huge. Like, it feels like such a big deal, this tournament upcoming. I can't wait. I think what I'm most excited for, in a way, is like, I'm actually pretty excited for some of the just like stylistic battles. I talk about that at Worlds all the time. It's like my favorite thing is like seeing some of the metagames clash. I've we've always talked about like the EU and NA sector, the LATAM sector, the APAC sector, and the Japan sector are all kind of very different ways to play the game. We're obviously going to get like multiple clinics on Japan versus APAC, but we're going to see a little bit of like new flavor with China coming to the mix, and who knows what they bring to the table. I think it's just going to be very cool to see some brand new play styles clash. It's going to be awesome. And then the second thing is it like, this tournament to me feels like a little bit of a victory lap potentially for like the organizers in the East. You know, they made a big swing. They tried a franchise league in Pokemon Unite, a game that like is, people have not been talking about with super high praises in terms of popularity or like investment from organizations or whatever that is, or like, you know, player longevity, that kind of thing. To see them make a huge swing, kind of put a franchise league into place where maybe there were problems with it. I had qualms with it, but in the end, it was a very, very fun league format to watch, depending on how each region tried to treat it. And now we get kind of the payoff, the big grand final. We get all these franchise teams playing against other invited open teams. Like, it's kind of the best of both worlds in that way, like Wonder Chef was talking about. I think it's going to be a really cool tournament and honestly a great proof of concept to see if, I mean, Unite can keep doing this like regular esports thing, which is really sick. So I am personally very excited for that aspect of the tournament as well, which is a little bit more nerdy brainy, I guess, but whatever. I think it'll be very fun. I'm also excited just for the games. It's gonna be awesome. And as we always say, the crowd, I cannot wait to see a packed house of Japanese fans cheering on their local teams. That's gonna be so sick. Admission is free, apparently, so hopefully we get a huge turnout. There's, like, an open tournament happening as well at the venue I saw. That's sick. That you can, like, sign up as a solo player or as teams, and then there's, like, you play, and then there's, like, prizing. Like, we've seen kind of the prizing over, like, the keychains and, like, the puzzle boxes and the posters and stuff like that you can all get, which I think is kind of fun, too. Who knows? Maybe Dupes Next, Wonder Chef, and I trio queue into this tournament. We'll see what happens. If we're not working, let's go slide in. The Sableye comps. We'll crush. It'll be fun. But either way, let's start getting into the nitty gritty, shall we, of Asia Champions League. We had the group stage draw. Wonder Chef, tell us a little bit about how the group stage draw actually went.
Well, it was a really fun stream. I love all the Japanese talent, and they had some players on as well. But the funniest, can I just say, but I just pointed out before we start this, they did such a funny bit where Chomosh, the Japanese caster, he was on the show. He didn't say a word. And they were like, oh, he's taking his job very seriously, so he's not speaking. And so he went up and he opened every single one of the capsules, those little Pokeballs, without saying a word the entire show. It was such a good bit. Hilarious.
So funny.
Oh yeah.
God. I did not realize that.
They are hilarious. I love those guys. But they basically drew it in a way where they started off with basically three groups of draws. So it was the Japanese ACL winners, the APAC ACL winners, and then kind of others. And they made sure that they didn't get any sort of crossovers amongst them, and then they drew for Group A, Group B, Group C, Group D, is essentially over and over. Obviously, there's going to be some repeats because there was like six teams from APAC and five Japan. Yeah. So it's still pretty evenly split. It was fun.
Yeah. I don't think there's not a single group with more than two APAC teams in it, though, right? I don't think so.
Right.
Group C and D only have two, so still feeling pretty okay about that, but we got the groups on stage right now. So for those of you who weren't able to see it or did not see it on social media, Group A is going to be Insomnia from Japan, FN Esports from Korea. They played in the APAC League, but a Korean squad. Revenant X-Spark from India and Utopia from China. Group B is going to be Fennel from Japan, Alter Ego from APAC, Godlike from India, and Exist from Japan. They're the open qualifier squad. Group C has got Nagaoya. I think they say OJA, but it could also be Oja. I actually don't know. From Japan, Paper X from APAC, Litten Dream Factory from China, and Onic Rise from APAC. And then Group D, Zeta Division, Barrierum United Esports, Luminosity Gaming, and Talon Esports. Barrierum and Talon from APAC, Zeta from Japan, and LG from North America. Yeah, these groups are pretty wild. In Overdunk fashion, we usually tend to treat one of these groups as the groups of death, of course, and then we like to name the rest of the groups. But let's start with deciding on a group of death. Instinctively, where are we going between A, B, C, or D? Does anybody have D? A hard vote for D from Doosnax?
So hard not to say D. I don't know how I could not say D.
Okay, fair, fair. Bridget, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm like very torn because they all look like a group of death. But I'm down with D because even with Talon being like the weakest link, quote unquote, I guess you could say for that one, like, I feel like kind of strongly toward two teams in each group, but group D, I feel the most split, so.
Well, I mean, that's the weakest link being like a top eight Worlds last year
and
team,
that's what
right?
I said, like, quote,
that's
unquote.
Wild. Yeah. I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying you're probably right, but that's still like, that's wild to say that that is the quote unquote weak link of a, you know, truthfully the weak link of a group, which maybe it is, maybe it's not.
Yeah, no, it's wild to think about. Yeah, I think group D is going to end up becoming the group of death. I was doing a stream like where I was VOD reviewing some of these teams, and I had a system where basically I would rank a team into S tier, A tier, or B tier, and basically just like ranking them into a spot where if I think they could win the whole, how confident I would be in them winning the whole thing. LG and Zeta, I both have in the S tier, Barrierum in A and Talon in B. Like, and Talon's interesting too. Wonderchef, you and I were talking about it a little bit, or you were saying it in my chat maybe. Was that what it was? Like, Talon having some roster changes recently, actually getting like Jay Rabson from Elevate on the team. Like, that's the, so Elevate kind of dissipated, and that's the team that got second place at Worlds in Yokohama. So, like, some really incredible players kind of joining Talon here at the last minute. So, they could be a spoiler squad for sure. But yeah, I think it's fair to say Group D, kind of the group of death. So let's jump up to Group A. Insomnia, we got the Obion squad, a really cool team, a very fun team to watch. They do play some kind of uncharacteristic picks. They got some interesting choices. A lot of Meowscarada before it was cool from Insomnia. You got FN Esports, our second place team from Worlds this last year. Revenant X-Spark, the best performing team in the India Asia Champions League regular season. And then they got second place in the playoffs and qualified via their Winter Open. And then Utopia, our first team out of China. General vibes on this group. I guess we could even just jump into predictions right now. What are we all thinking? Is there anyone that wants to fight Insomnia and FN make it out of this group?
I could maybe.
The only thing I want to... So, obviously, China teams are impossible to predict. And I'm willing to... I think my gut would be... it's so tough. I want to put Revenant 4 just because similar to, like, hasn't seen India on LAN in a really long time. And I just really think the Indian community needs a good ball out moment. And I think based on the groups that Revenant has a better theoretical chance to make it out of Group A than Godlike does out of Group B.
I think that's fair. I think that is 100% fair.
So that's why that would be the only case I would make outside of Insomnia FN for that reason.
Fair enough.
That was my thought too. I mean, we have no idea about the Chinese teams, but Revenant X-Spark, they're cool, right? They were kind of some of the remnants of Team True Gravity, which did really well last ACL. But they also have some like other well-known names from the region, like Crowley's on that team, and they're, I would say, like more recently formed, because the whole thing was that basically like Team True Gravity turned into Godlike, and then all the people left. But yeah, you can see like there's some like pretty familiar names on Revenant X-Spark, but they've been together less time. But if they've like taken this time to kind of like solidify together and they play like, you know, like Team True Gravity plus more played last year, they could be like a big upset team.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, so Revenant X Mark definitely a team that could upset. That's interesting. I feel like we can't even find Group A. Bridget, you were super. I think you were more locked in on Insomnia FN making it out of this group. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember when before ACL started, you would kind of ask us to pick a team to root for, and I picked Insomnia, and I've been following Obion on YouTube ever since, and yeah, I'm a fan. Okay. I can't even lie. I like Slime a lot on that team, too, so
yeah,
I'm pretty... I think they overall looked pretty good in the finals. Could definitely, I think, be upset. I definitely feel more confident about FN, obviously. They've proven themselves on the largest stage, literally, so have a lot more backing them up. But, gosh, I can't... How do you even prep for, like, a playing China in your group? Like,
seriously.
I just wonder what they're doing. Like, what do you even do?
Yeah. I mean, I can't ever get mad at somebody for saying they're a fan when I'm also here with FN in this group. Like, the story for you with Insomnia is identical for me with FN in this group. So, I mean, I'm never going to not predict them to make it out of the group. So, that's going to be a challenge.
Ward is so good at this game, too.
Uh-huh. He's incredible.
He's so nasty.
It's crazy.
Watching those ACL finals for SEA, I think Zhong hit another level, too, which I think is so sick. Yeah, they're so fantastic. And I mean, then like also just players that have been killing it forever, like Mule, Chobo, Subin, like these are players that have been crushing as well for years now in the scene. So that's really exciting. Dexter reminding us in chat, this was like a reference or not a reference, something that Kyrios told us in the interview with him, is that Utopia apparently has Chinese Overlord on the team. Apparently they look like kind of crazy similar. I don't know which player it is out of these five.
It's Aurora.
Aurora, yeah. Apparently Aurora and Overlord like look really similar, and they have like kind of the same hero pool and stuff. And so everyone's been calling him Chinese Overlord. So who knows? The power of Overlord on land is strong. Maybe a lookalike will work too. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think my predictions for this group is definitely going to be Insomnia FN. I would personally put FN first seed, Insomnia second seed out of this group. So that's what I'm going to lock in. Dupes next. How about you?
Yeah, I'll. I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. My heart really wants.
Do it. Make the call.
This is a personal choice.
Let's do. I'll do FN Revenant then. I have to have at least one Indian team out of a group.
Okay, so Doopsnack's going with FN first place, Revenant second. How about you, Wonderchef?
I think I'm actually in the same way. It's FN. The only thing I know for sure is that my heart says FN first, but I don't think that's a super hard call to make. But I do FN first, Revenant second.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right, Bridget, how about you?
I will stick with FN and Insomnia.
Who's first, who's second, though?
I have to put FN first.
Okay, I didn't know how far the fan like goes, you know? Like, how does Insomnia take first? But okay, fair enough. FN first, Insomnia second for Bridget. Fair enough. Let's move on to Group B. So we got Fennel, Alter Ego, Godlike Esports, and Exist. So Godlike Esports, true to their name, having one of the most insane bracket runs of all time in the most...
God,
like,
I love that.
Insane format that India plays in for their playoff structure. It's crazy. The most seeding favored structure you've ever seen in your life. But Godlike makes a run from last place all the way to first place and wins it. Wild scenes out there. Godlike goes on a crazy run. Alter Ego, definitely a well-known team to a lot of people. We got BKZ, Ikra, Shingdi, Ice, Z-Ray. Interesting thing to note about Shingdi, if we want to take it back a while, is to the 2023 Unite Asia Champions League, or this is like East Asia, right? Yeah, they were able to take down the whole thing. So reminder, first place. So they are not the reigning champions. That's of course going to be Zeta Division, that team, but they are an ACL champion. A lot of the members of Alter Ego. And then Fennel, the reigning world champions, and Exist, this team that makes it out of the winter tournament. And I think, Chef, you were talking a little bit about this team, right? Like, the things they were saying after.
Yeah. I just stole Shinohara's information, honestly, but he gave great information where basically it seems like there were like a lot of teams that were Japanese teams, that especially after they won Worlds, they were like, well, we really want to like be a new big team. But since their league became franchised, you know, there's only one big tournament to be able to qualify for Worlds. So they had, you know, hundreds of teams sign up for the winter tournament, and their goal, which is Kakegoya Rising, which is now Exist, which happened over the past few days, I think. They were like, oh, like, we want to prove that, like, the open bracket players that aren't part of the franchise league are at least as strong as the players in the franchise league. So they've got a lot to prove, which I think is a super cool storyline.
Yeah, that's
and,
awesome.
And obviously they had to fight through a lot of teams to make it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Winter Open. That's huge. I mean, that's so exciting. Obviously, that tournament had no franchise teams participating in it, but I like the energy of like, no, we're going to prove that we are just as good as the rest of the teams. That's sick. I mean, Fennel's Fennel. What else is there to say? Let's make some predictions for Group B. I will go first because Fennel is first place for me, obviously. I am actually going with Godlike second in this group. I'm putting Godlike Esports second place out of this group. Winning the India League is no small feat. Also, India has proved to have a pretty crazy good performance at Asia Champions League last year. Obviously not the same amount of players. A lot of those players are on Revenant X Spark. But I do think that if I'm going to pick a spoiler team in one of these groups, I like Godlike a lot. In this situation, Alter Ego has a kind of a tough regular season in the group stage of SEA-ACL. And then they kind of end up around in the same place, like not first, not second. They kind of like a little bit lower on the totem pole for Alter Ego, or they get second place. Now I'm trying to remember. Yeah, they got second total in SEA, so that's still pretty good. Dang. That's tough. Pretty that's good. Okay. I'm going to stick with my spoiler pick. I'm going Godlike second. Dupes next. How about you? What about for Group B?
Fennel, Alter Ego in that order.
Okay, fair enough. Straightforward picks. How about you, Wonder Chef?
I'm going to go hot take here, and I'm going to go Alter Ego first seed.
Okay.
And then I think Fennel second seed. Because I think, I mean, Fennel's obviously really good, but they didn't necessarily like win their group right now, you know? And then also, Alter Ego, back as Shin and Rude, had a pretty good record against Japanese teams.
That's true, actually, yeah.
And I feel like they might be able to kind of pull that off again. But I just have a lot of faith in Shinrude, you know.
Stop making me regret my godlike pick. Okay, yeah, no, you're fair. That's fair. One other thing we haven't talked about too much with Fennel is that kind of midway through the season, they lost Lukapo. Lukapo no longer on this roster, had to back out for, I guess, IRL stuff or whatever. And it sounds like they're not going to be playing at this event and potentially not for some time. So Fennel now playing a little bit of a different style, not on tank anymore, kind of on top carry. So that changes things up a little bit for this team. But they still look quite strong. Second place in Japan, obviously, but maybe not as strong we've seen in the past. They absolutely crushed Insomnia in the winner's final, if that means anything. But either way, I've still got the first. But Wonder Chef willing to put them in second place. How about you, Bridget?
Bringing up winners finals is kind of a dig at Insomnia, but it's fine. I'll forgive it.
Fair.
Also, I thought it was funny that Sheffy said Alter Ego is usually good against like Japanese teams, and it's like they have two Japanese teams in their groups. They're probably like rubbing their hands, like, yeah, let's go. We're going to eat them up.
I like that so much.
I know. I was going to ask, are we going to name the groups? But maybe we'll do that after. I'm trying to think as we
I realized I wanted
them.
To scroll up and look at rosters, and my draw on page thing doesn't work well for that. So I was like, I'll do it after.
Okay. I'm still brainstorming, just so you know. Good, so I'm trying to be ready. All that said, I think I will. I'm being like boring, but how do I bet against Fennel and Alter Ego? I know Alter Ego is kind of interesting. I feel like Fennel is like, especially since, I mean, Worlds, but really they were kind of cleaning up in Japan prior to Worlds. Like, they're so like consistently good. Like, if they're not number one, which they're usually number one, like, they're number two. Like, they're not far from the crown by any means. An alter ego, I feel like, can be like, if it's their day, like, it is their day. But if it's not, man, like, it can be shaky. So, all that to say, I'm still going to pick them two to go through, but that's how I feel about them.
Alter Ego is an interesting team historically because I think Alter Ego is like, well, this last year at Worlds, we didn't get them on broadcast. I think we got one game from them on broadcast. Yeah, potentially it was zero, right? Like,
it was not
almost not at all. They were kind of in a nemesis situation in that way. And they got like knocked out first round of groups, but or so first round of day two in top 16. Mm-hmm. But they also were like the winner of their group, but they got randomly drawn to be last pick. So they didn't really get to pick their opponent either. So Alter Ego had like kind of a cursed Worlds run in a few ways where I feel like if we got more eyes on them, I think we would think they're stronger. But like, I think there's this effect of like, we haven't seen Alter Ego dominate in a minute. And so like, there's like a, and obviously they get second in the SEA league. They have a bit of a rocky season. It's like, who knows? But anyway, yeah, I think they're such an interesting team to me that I feel like I'm not giving them a fair shake because of that. But either way, let's just jump on to Group C. Nagoya, OJA, Paper Rex, Litten Dream Factory, and Onic Rise. This is an interesting group. A very interesting group. I did a lot of VOD review of Japan over the last 2 days, and I have to admit, I was not very impressed with Nagoya, OJA. It felt like they really had a couple of Pokemon that they wanted to pick every game, and it did not matter what was on the other side. They were making sure they had those picks, and historically, I don't love teams that play like that. I like teams that are adapting a little bit more, and I felt like that. So this is the first time I think my like confidence in a Japanese team is a little shaky here in Group C. So my picks are actually going to be Paper Rex first, Onic Rise second out of the group, I think.
That's where I'm at. That's what I was going to say. Obviously, I'm wearing a Paper Rex jersey right now, so they're leaving the group. I've essentially gone back and watched some of your streams, Zoinks, and you, your first one, you actually did spend a lot of time on OJA.
Too much. I realized, I was like, I got so through like much. One. I went through one game in that whole stream, and I was like, okay, I'm spending way too much time on these. I got to move quicker. But yeah, I did spend
They seem to be a team that, even though in that match, I believe they lost, it felt like it was just like, okay, we just needed one match to watch, and now we've got them figured out, which is why they ended up fourth despite like kicking off their event with a, you know, pretty decent win. And I'm not trying to discount Utopia or Litten Dream Factory at all. I just have no concept on how they're gonna play.
Right,
like
it's so
you
hard.
Can like you can say Utopia has Chinese Overlord, and Overlord's an amazing player, but Overlord loses on this map. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And now throw in all of the other stuff that cannot be made up in 6 months. That's just impossible. For you know, especially when you're talking about, you know, the three other teams in that group where they have players that have literally played this game nonstop for the last 4 years. So I just want to throw that out there. I'm not trying to discount them, and I'm not saying they don't have a chance. I said at the top of the show that I hope one of these two teams surprises me and goes on an absolute run and puts the world on notice. Because I think that'll get everybody even more excited, you know, for the Chinese version. Hopefully becomes like the global release and we're all on the same thing, you know, with them competing on the same map. But I am going to stick with Paper Rex and Onic for all the things I just detailed.
Yeah. Man, if Litten wins the thing and China has four slots at Worlds, at the first Worlds they can finally make it to, that would be insane. That would be truly insane. Because currently they only have three slots. Two will be decided by championship points, one by the winner of the next in-person tournament they have, which I think is the same weekend as the SEA tournament, which is also like 2 weekends after ACL. It's crazy how fast they are. But visas take a long time, especially in this political climate. So I think it is makes a lot of sense. But all right, Deuce X and I have our picks locked in. Bridget, how about you? What are you thinking for Group C?
Okay, I'm gonna be extremely wild.
Whoa.
And I am gonna pick Litten just because.
Yo, okay. China, let's go.
I just
who are you bumping? Who are you gonna bump out of this? Paper Rex with
Paper
players
Rex
that we've followed since year one, Rebong's Yang solo? Or are you gonna crap on Eeyore, who's one of the only Asian individuals that pops into this stream on a week in, week out basis? So who are you stabbing in the face right now, Bridge?
I don't know the Paper X players very well, so I'm gonna pick Onik.
All right, fair enough. I like it a lot. Is Litten Dream Factory first place out of this group for you too?
Yeah.
Hell, might
yeah.
As well. Might as well go all in, Bridge.
I just selfishly, I kind of want them to like show up and like just own everyone, just like a little bit. So, like, yeah. I just want them to have a good like splash into the scene, if I'm just being honest. So I would be pretty sad if they just got like clobbered, honestly. So yeah. I'm
holding. I agree.
And I do feel like there is such a good unknown, like scary variable with these like new teams coming in from like such a competitive like MOBA scene in general. So I'm rooting for them. And then I have to stay on Onik. I know they kind of fumbled in their last week, like the day 7 tournament for SEA, but they proved themselves by winning the entire winter tourney, qualifying anyway. I think they have like one new player, Cell, I think, instead of Dev. I also just don't know if players like change their names, but until I know otherwise, I'm assuming they're a different person. So
sure I know they have AxQ from RRQ, which is cool. Team name I will not try to pronounce fully, even though we had to.
Rex.
So they definitely do have at least one new member, which is really cool.
Well,
but a great player.
I thought AxQ was on Onik last year.
Was it AxQ on Onik all of last year?
I don't know about all. I just checked my world spreadsheet from last year.
Yeah, I believe he was on Rise, previously.
Okay.
Because there's Onik
right.
And there's Onik last year.
You know,
that was the grand finals, by the way, of their winter tournament was Onik versus Onik, which is pretty funny. Which, by the way, didn't they both also qualify last year via last chance qualifiers, both those teams? So
Evos definitely did.
Yeah, maybe it was just one of them. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I just remember Evos.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an XQ then. It had somebody. They had somebody new.
What's wild to think about is I think almost all, besides Wraith, who's not playing anymore, I think everybody from No Lucario Season 1 is in this tournament in different regions.
Yeah. We need a No Lucario photo at this tournament.
Aww.
Absolutely. That would be great. Oh, that'd be awesome. Okay, Wonder Chef, I don't think we have your picks for the Group C yet. What are you choosing?
Okay, I think that, I don't know, it's tough. The problem is, like, I've gone on record saying that, like, SEA / APAC are, like, I'm going all in on them this year. I think they're such a strong region. I think they have the highest level of consistency. Like, you can go so deep into APAC. You can go, like, 10 teams in APAC and have, like, a world's quality team. And I don't know if there's any other regions that have that right now. Hmm. Plus, these are, like, probably my two favorites, right? Like, NYS, I said last year at Worlds, I was like, this is my favorite team to watch right now, like, completely. Yeah. And
now they got cool jerseys.
Rise as well. Yeah, they have sickest jerseys, which I need to maybe try to get one of those. But it's hard not to vote against them, but I do think it would be fun if Litten Dream Factory made it. But I can't not say Paper Rex, Onik Rise.
Yeah. Fair enough. Paper X, Onik Rise, getting a lot of vouches, but
yeah.
Bridget, the lone holdout for Litten Dream Factory. I mean, I'm down. They got Mewtwo on their team. He was great. Loved the interview. Let's go. Okay. Group D, our group of death. Zeta Division, Barrierum United Esports, Luminosity Gaming, and Talon. This is a tough one to make some picks on, but I will start us off. I'm going Hometown Heroes, Luminosity Gaming, first out of the group. Zeta Division, second out of the group. I know Barrierum is good. I know they are a genuinely fantastic team. Their regular season was actually insanely good in the group stages of SEA. I think their game is great. I think LG and Zeta Division play actually very similarly, which I think is funny. But I think they are playing so hot right now. LG is coming off multiple LAN wins. Zeta Division has an absolute crazy demon run through the local Japanese event. Like, I truly think Zeta Division and LG are the ones to break out of this group. That's where I'm putting my money. LG first, Zeta second. Let's go Dupes next. How about you?
Same exact thing. Okay. You know, I'm a homer. You know, I'm a homer, and I'm going to pick LG guaranteed. Zeta, I think, are kind of an undeniable force, to your point. But it's wild, again, that Talon and Burirum. Didn't Burirum also get top 8 at Worlds last year?
No, they were cakewalk. So top 16, yeah. I think, right?
Okay.
No, I think they're right in top 8, right? But it's not all of Cake Clock, I believe.
Yeah,
I'm
no, they got top 8. Like they got top 8.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
top 8 eliminated by Zeta.
I think it's like half Cake Clock now.
Oh, yeah, eliminated by Zeta. Uh-oh. But yeah, Wonder Chef is correct. This is not all Cake. There's like kind of half the members of Cake Clock, etc. A few team members have moved around there. I think Eeyore's corrected me on that in chat at some point in the past. So, but yeah, there is a little bit of a
change. Mufasa's still there, don't worry.
Yeah, still a crazy gamer tag and a crazy group. Definitely the group of death. I think we got that one, hit that nail on the head. But yeah, I'm going to have to go because I'm a homer with LG first. Zeta, I think, is another undeniable force. But like you could say any mixture of these two teams, and I'd find plausibility in that. Like, even if you went like Burirum Talon just came unglued,
yeah,
and I'd be like, yeah, you know, I can see it.
I can see it. Yeah.
So I group D is tough, but I'm just gonna go with my gut here.
Yeah, it's a blender. All right, let's go Wonder Chef for this next one.
So the interesting thing about this group, I have two tangents to go on for this one, is that so there are half of this entire roster, right, of the entire 16 teams were day two at Worlds last year. But the it split up like two in Group B, two in Group C, one in Group A, three in Group D. And the one that isn't in that didn't make Group two or day two was Luminosity, which is wild. Yeah. So so it's a world champion and three day two teams. So I do think that it is a death group for a reason, and it's going to be really hard to guess. Mm-hmm. The other thing, now that we're talking about Luminosity, I was looking at I tweeted about it. I was looking at the website, and it said like Zeta Division representing Japan, United Esports representing Thailand, and Luminosity Gaming representing Canada. And I said, what? That can't be right. Did you know that Luminosity was a Canadian org?
Yeah.
We've had Canadian world champions.
Their parent orgs is like kind of in ownership with like the Vancouver Canucks and stuff. They're like in that big ownership grouping. Yeah.
Well, let's go Canada.
And the only reason I knew that was because they were in the Overwatch League and the Vancouver Titans, and it was a whole thing. So I remember that. But anyway, that's a random tangent for why I knew they were Canadian.
All right.
They don't have ELO anymore, who was the only, I think, actual Canadian like player to play under that banner, but it's fine.
They need to pull in a new Canadian. But I personally, yeah, it's going to be hard for me not to say unbiased, Luminosity first out of this group. And Zeta Division second, I think.
Okay. Wow. So we are 3 for 3 on these picks. Bridget, what would you like to do?
I mean, if you had asked me before the ACL finals what I thought about Zeta, I was like, I don't know, man. They did pretty buns in their season. I don't know what happened. Like, the way it's set up is, like, that you basically play, like, a new team each week, and then whether you win or lose, you either go into like that upper bracket or that lower bracket. Mm-hmm. Zeta lost that first game six out of seven times.
Also, they lost the first one in their playoffs as well.
Yeah, don't know what it is. Maybe they're just not that kind of. They don't like the first game. They just don't like it.
That's so funny. Dextro saying in chat too, I think the order of matches would be very important for Group D. Okay, everyone's hoping to get Zeta drawn for game one. Burirum, Talon, and Luminosity are all like, please let us play them for the first game of the day.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but they are. It is kind of interesting, but they looked incredible in the playoffs, obviously looked incredible at Worlds, has, like, an insane reputation, so they seem like they're hot right now. They said, okay, it's getting close to the Worlds, I guess we'll lock in now. So I must back Zeta and LG, obviously. Love Barrerum, love Talon, but yeah. I must admit my bias here. We have to see. I need LG to do to get out of groups, just for personal reasons.
Yeah, genuinely, me too. We need this, please. Yeah, this is gonna be a wild group. That is so funny. Thank you so much for the stats on that Zeta thing. That is really interesting. Also, a reminder, I mean, Zeta Division, currently the Asia Champions League title holder, right? Zeta Division won it last year, so they're going to be holding it down, and of course, second place at EUIC last year as well. So Zeta Division having a lot of tenure, maybe not a great performance in the regular season, but other than that, looking pretty good. It's going to be really interesting in how this actually all ends up playing out, but so those are going to be our group predictions. I think we might drop the names because we're already pretty long. But there's a couple of storyline things I wanted to hit quickly before we get into our final, like, just quick round of turbo predictions. But what I think is really funny. So let's picture a world where we actually don't know what the format is. But picture that the first seeds get to choose their opponent in the first round of single elim. If Luminosity gets second place, do we think they are chosen last or first by one of the teams picking? I don't know. Like, you think last? You don't think a Japanese team's like, we're getting them out of here? Like, we'll beat them. Like, I don't know. I think that would be kind of some fun energy.
I feel like a lot of the teams in this tourney actually do have, like, a lot of respect for LG.
For sure.
Like, obviously, I feel like they all respect each other, but even I was looking, I think Shing D made a tier list and we were looking at it on your stream, Zoinks, and he rates Fennel, Zeta, and LG in S tier. So I don't think they're being underestimated
totally
by any means. So
yeah,
it's tough. I also feel like I don't know how I would feel about picking your opponent with such a small group because, like, I feel like they would just pick who they played in group because they already, like, prepped for them.
Yeah, that would definitely have to be a clause. You would have to make sure you can't pick your group opponents or whatever. And, well, who knows where it would end up. But I think you're right. It gets a little more fair when there's, like, eight groups or something, and then that's where we're all mixing around. But who knows? Yeah, it'll be weird. Okay, let's anything else we want to talk about in terms of group stage, individual teams, anything like that before we go into our, like, tournament winner kind of picks? No? Sweet?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, let's do our picks for who we think is going to win the whole darn thing, and then the MVP player on that team. Dupesnex, do you know yours?
LG Otter.
LG Otter, okay. Seems like Mew, Pikachu, and Psyduck going to be making it out of some drafts. I like it. Wonder Chef, how about you?
I think it's not that hot of a take, right? I think FN Esports wins.
Yo, okay. I like that, Chef. I like that a lot. Do you got an MVP out of them?
I don't know. They have so many potential MVPs. MVP is a really hard call. I don't know. Can I just say Ward? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's a fair. That is a very fair pick.
Always say Ward.
Yeah, always say Ward. He's got tattoos from the character Law from One Piece. We have to choose him. Bridget, how about you? Who are you picking?
I will go with world champions Fennel.
Okay, a Fennel pick. I like that. I feel like Fennel's a pretty solid pick. Feels like a pretty safe group for them to make it out in. So that's a good point. It's a good point. Okay, MVP on that team.
My heart wants to say Machio, their attacker player.
He played phenomenally when I was watching. Machio was looking good.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, but it's not really, like, an attacker meta. And then I looked at my notes, and he plays Darkrai. So for that reason alone, I'm going to pick Darkrai. I'm going to pick Machiel because I would love to see Darkrai, if I'm being honest.
That's sick. Okay, well, we have two votes for FN Esports winning this whole thing. Let's go. It's Korea's time this year. FN Esports, I'm picking it, and I'm choosing Zhong. Like I said, I think he's hitting another think he's hitting another form. Absolute demon out there. Okay, everybody, a dark horse team to win the tournament. I guess I went last, so I can start with my choice. I'm going to throw my dark horse in the ring with... Give me Onyx Rise, I think.
Oh, yes.
Onyx Rise, obviously having a tough performance in their own local tournament, but I've been hearing whispers of them performing very, very well leading up to this tournament. So scrim wise and data. So I'm gonna sink my dark horse on that squad. How about you, Bridget?
Ooh, let me look at my list again.
All right, while Bridget is doing that, I'm going paper Rex. What are all the other questions so I can answer them and dip? Because you're not looking at the chat that I'm sending you.
Oh, oops. Okay, sorry. Yeah, the next picks you have are the most banned Pokemon, the most picked Pokemon, and the best win rate Pokemon.
Most banned, Leafeon. What highest win rate?
Yep.
It's gonna be something weird.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Sword.
Sword, okay. And then most picked Pokemon.
Blissey. Bang.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you, Deucex.
Bye, everybody. Follow at Big Bridget on Twitter. Love you all. Bye.
Yippee, bye.
Okay, make sure to turn off your camera because I don't know how else to do the view mid this thing. Okay, Bridget, how about you, Dark Horse Team, to win the
okay,
tournament?
Okay, he did. Yeah. You can put chat back up now. That dupe snacks is gone.
Oh, yeah, I technically can, huh?
I am going to quadruple, quintuple, double down and say Litten Dream Factory, baby. Let's go.
I'm a fan. Okay, Litten, let's go. Team China. How about you, Wonder Chef?
I think... if I'm going by my heart, what would be a fun story? I'm going to go, oh my God, what are they called now? It's Kakagoya Rising. I forget their new team. Exist? Yeah, Exist.
Ooh, that's a very fun one. I like Exist a lot. I do think it trips me out that they replace one of their S's with a Z, but then not the second S.
That's
so true. Yeah, so true. Okay, Wondership, what do you think the Pokemon that is going to be banned the most is?
It's Leafeon.
Leafeon.
Easy.
Okay. How about you, Bridget?
Man, you would have thought about this, huh? Yeah, interesting. I want to go with like a tanker support.
Yep.
I'll say Hoopa.
Oh, okay. I was also going to say Hoopa. So we have two votes for Hoopa. Twinning. We have two votes for Hoopa, two votes for Leafeon. Most picked Pokemon in the entire tournament. So it's avoiding the ban phase, and it's ending up in a whole lot of these games. I am going to put Umbreon. I mean, I feel like I've been putting Umbreon for months in this slot, but I'm going to keep it up. So Umbreon is going to land there. How about you, Bridget?
I will say my little duck, the Psyduck.
The duck. Okay, fair enough. Chef?
I also think Psyduck. Got a few nerfs, but like tiny ones, so I think it like still slides below the ban, and it's still ridiculously good. And
yeah, he's fine.
Especially if the bans go towards supports a lot, which it very well could, I think. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of ducks.
I agree. Okay, our final category is the best win rate Pokemon on the weekend. Reminder, this has to be played at least five times in the tournament. So a Pokemon that only is played once and wins once would have 100% win rate. We're going to remove that from the category. Pokemon needs to be picked at least five times. Needs to find wins after that. Does anybody have an early pick? So far, we have Dupesnax locking in Aegislash as their choice.
I have mine.
Yeah, Bridget, go. What do you think?
I'm going to say Urshifu.
Urshifu. Okay, I like it a lot. We got Shingdi and Overlord at the tournament. That makes a lot of sense.
I was seeing that quite a bit when I was watching some SEA.
Yeah.
Day 7 games, so.
I like it. Okay, how about you, Underchef?
I think that despite the nerfs, it's going to be Snorlax.
Oh,
I think Snorlax.
I like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel the only thing I think that's tough about the pick is I just think it's going to be picked a lot. You know, so like usually large sample size tends to kind of decrease the win rate a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. I think for my final best win rate, and this might be my out of pocket. My other two picks are really boring, so I'm going to be kind of fun with this one. I'm putting Gengar as the best win rate.
Yeah, so I like the speedster yeah. shout out.
I think it was like one of the most frequently banned Pokemon back when that Pokemon was still absolutely dominating, and so now I think it's kind of off watch notice a little bit, so I think it'll end up being a little more popular on those ones, but we'll see. Dextro saying the best win rate being Talonflame, so Dextro and I thinking very much in the same brain, but I do think it's going to end up being in there. Okay, y'all, I think we finally arrived at the end of the episode. A solid almost 1.5 hour episode. In classic fashion, anytime Wonder Chef is even near the podcast, it ends up being a long one, which is fantastic. 100
for longer.
Yeah,
I still don't know how that became a thing. One time I may have made some joke, and then it just sucked. That well, I complained about it
never
being
forgotten.
Call it a curse, call it a blessing, call it an eventual lifetime of revenge that I'm seeking out. Either way, it's where we've ended up. But Wonder Chef, in all seriousness, thank you so much for joining us on the episode. It's fantastic to have you. I can't wait to hang out with you in Japan, my man. It's going to be awesome. But now that we're ending the episode here, anything you want to sell out, shout out, plug, anything like that?
No, if anybody's going to be at ACL, PUACL finals, then please let us know, because I don't know if there's going to be anybody else out there that's not a Japanese fan. And also, if you're going, be careful. It's really hard to get normal tickets. You have to download Japanese Line, and it's very confusing. But yeah I'm excited to hang out with everybody, whether they be Japanese fans or people who've traveled or anything. It's going to be so sick.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. Bridget, how about you? Anything to plug before we close up shop here?
No, I don't think so. Watch ACL, March Cup, if you're still awake. That'll be on too. I'm pretty excited. It's get some rest this weekend, because next weekend is going to be a banger.
It's going to be so sick. I cannot wait. All right, everybody, that's going to be the end of our Overdunk episode. Reminder, we are almost 100% not going to have an episode next week, just with travel plans happening midweek. It's going to be a lot to get done in the early part, so unfortunately no episodes of this. Is going to be your last episode for a minute. When we come back, it'll be post Asia Champions League, post March Cup. We'll know another team that's locked in for the World Championships aside from Luminosity Gaming. Maybe. I actually don't know what happens if LG wins this tournament. Who knows?
We didn't even talk about that.
We didn't actually talk about it, but honestly, because we don't know the rules. So who knows? Either way, it's going to be an awesome event. Please tune into the Asia Champions League. Please tune into March Cup and support. And if you're playing, best of luck in that tournament as well. It should be an awesome one. It's a fun tournament. If you're in North America, show up. LG's not going to be in the bracket. Should be a good time. I think that's everything. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Where's my ending soon button?